being gay, being out, being queer is such a cool thing. And yes, there are tough aspects of it, but you have a community. There are so many heart-wrenching, heartbreaking stories, and those are so valid, but also there's a lot of stories of joy. Welcome to today's episode of the podcast where we're talking about joy and queer things. I was going to ask you, when it comes to, and maybe you talked about this already, but when it comes to the term queer joy, which I have not defined, I think it was like putting two things together, queer and joy, queer joy. Yeah. What does that mean to you when you hear that, and what does it look like in your life? And if you feel like that's already been covered, that's great.
But. Oh, no, I think the only thing I would add to that is a big part of queer joy for me is the way you express and feel love. And growing up in like a heteronormative society, there's sort of like this prescription. Mm-hmm. It's like you have the man and he's supposed to be chivalrous, and then the woman who follows the lead, and you know, he always asks her out, or you know, all those like protocols that are kind of ingrained to you as the way things should be.
Right.
But when it's queer, they're like no rules. So going along kind of with what I said earlier, it's you get to make up your own rules and like figure it out on your own and figure out what really works for you and your partner or partners, and define your own relationship. And I think because you're working outside of those protocols, it puts you on like more equal footing, because there are... I don't know if I should say, like, no expectations, but it's not, like, some script that you're following.
I love that it encourages communication. You have to, like, figure out. Like, there are, like, there can be roles in relationships, but it's, like, not something that's just assumed. It's like, oh, you like doing this? And great. And I like doing this. Or, like,
And I honestly wish, like, straight couples would do that, too.
Yeah, they need a little bit more. Tell me about, so like one of the focuses for this, and I love this and I'll talk about it all the time, is the concept of queer joy. Mm-hmm. I have not defined that term. I don't really know what it's supposed to mean. And so I want to know from you, when you hear the term queer joy, what does that mean to you?
That like excites me when you say that. That's so interesting. When you're like queer joy, I'm like, yes, I know what that feels like.
Ooh, tell me about it.
I don't even know if I can put words to it of what I feel, but I would say that queer joy is like embracing your truth and happiness. It's like embracing you.
Mm.
And so it's like doing something because you love it and not caring what other people think.
Interesting.
Because like there's little things that I've noticed that I embrace more. So like growing up, I was this like little tomboy, and like I played baseball and I wanted to do Boy Scouts and all these things, which is fine. Like girls can do that too, even straight, heterosexual, like that's fine. But when I came out as gay and I was like, I own a truck and I like to build things and I do woodwork, I'm like, it's cause I'm gay. And like, some people hate the stereotypes, but like, I love it. I love stepping into it. And I'm like, I love that I can identify. I'm like, oh, that feels so good. Like that I can identify that way and be like, heck yeah, that's who I am. Heck yeah, that's what I love. Like,
I love that.
You step into it and just, instead of seeing it a different way, it's like, nah, I love that I am like that and that I feel those things.
Ooh.
I love that I'm so attracted to females and like what the like soft skin, like these things that I'm like,
interesting.
That is, I love that I love it. Cause people are like, when they come out, they're like, I can't change this, right? They're like, I couldn't change this even if I wanted to. I'm like, I wouldn't if I could. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to change it.
I totally feel like that now. I feel like growing up, a huge portion of my life was praying for God to fix me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, everyone should get a chance to be gay.
I'm like, it's you just, love it. Try
it's
it
It's just
out.
Great. It's so funny hearing you talk too about like what you love about women. And I'm like, I am very different than that. I'm
totally.
Like, give me like your hairy, your brawny, your like rougher skin.
The masculine.
I held a guy's hand. Okay, this is weird, but my hands are so rough. They're
rough.
I've gone from lifting. I've gone from lifting where I used to get calluses, and now it's like my whole hand.
Yeah.
And I used to be so embarrassed about holding girls' hands when I was dating women. Because I'm like, sorry, you got to hold these like rock hands. And men love it. Men grab my hand and they're like, masculinity. I'm like, I should be holding a rock. I love it. But I love that. I love hearing you like talk about what you love about your identity. And I think that's a power, is when you embrace your identity. You like, it's like your powers combine to create this like symphony and this this like, I love it. I love it.
But what's beautiful is that you love something and find beauty in something mm-hmm. that I don't, and I do in something that you don't,
yes.
right? And so like, what is beauty? It's subjective.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to like, to be okay with that, that I don't have to find beauty in what everybody else finds.
Yes.
And then it's like, okay, you can like that, but I don't. I love this,
mm-hmm.
right?
And it's super cool.
And it's okay.
Okay, a question for you. So we kind of talked about what queer joy means to you. Is there a moment, an experience, a time you could think in your life where you're like, I experienced queer joy? Like a specific moment?
I think I feel the most queer joy when I have been around other people that also hold space for me and that I can talk about it. And they're like, that is so cool. Like other lesbian couples that we go out to dinner with, or like talking with my brother who is gay. Like I talked to him on the phone. I was like, oh my gosh, how are you and your boyfriend doing? Are you guys like, are you looking to get married? And then like, he talks to me. He's like, so what about you guys? Have you thought about having kids?
Mm.
And like those moments where it's like beautiful that they're excited for what I love, even though it's not what they love or it's something different. It's like, that I can talk about and be excited about
yeah.
something that I love.
Oh, I love that. That's like the holding space, the concept of like, it really does go in line with allowing you to be yourself.
And I don't have to feel that with queer people. Like mm-hmm. heterosexual people can feel that, straight people. But when they ask and they care, mm-hmm. then I'm like, oh, I am excited about this.
Oh.
I am excited about my future because it has shifted. Like I'm still who I am, but now I'm more seen and I'm
yeah.
more authentic.
Man, so my dad is like who I love to death. He's Southern Black, very like different culture and community. When I came out to him, he was like really cool about it, but really didn't know what to do. He's like, yo, like, I guess we don't talk about it. And I was like, mm-hmm. no, sir, we're gonna talk a lot. but one of the moments where I experienced queer joy, and it reminds me kind of along your definition, was when me and my dad were sharing dating experiences.
Ooh.
My dad's single. And he's telling me about this embarrassing date he went on. And like this embarrassing thing happened. And then I shared a date I'd been on with a guy or something embarrassing happened. And it wasn't like, this is a gay story. It was like, it was cool to just have this moment where I could connect with my dad
yeah.
with dating experiences. And I felt this like joy of like, I can completely be myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can just like he's not like, that's a boy. He was just like, we're laughing at embarrassing
yeah.
things happening. I love it. I love it so much. Now I want to talk about the concept of this podcast.
Yeah.
Where it's like we have all these experiences and I feel like we hear so many sad experiences and that is okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If anything, I feel like some solidarity when I hear those. I'm like, yeah, like I went through something similar.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know about the other end of what it means to be queer.
Yeah.
And before we jump into that, I want to ask you, when you hear the term, and there's no definition, I didn't get this from Webster's or anything.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the term queer joy, what do you think about?
I think the word radical.
Oh.
I think the word resistance. I think queer joy in itself is something that works against everything that has been working against you.
Oh.
And I feel like it's not something that like you're doing with malice or like you're not doing it to purposefully make the other side angry.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's just something that happens naturally and something that is so beautiful. And it, the existence of it itself is like, kind of defies everything that has been coming before it or something. It defies like if you were to look on paper, all of the like anti-queer, like from the cultural sentiments to the mm-hmm. laws, like it would seem like queer joy was supposed to be beaten out of you. But yet it exists, and yet it is beautiful, and yet it is like very prominent, and yeah.
I love that, like that radical, that resilient.
Yeah, it's resilient.
I've never thought of queer joy as, and maybe from like the perspective of what it means to people, it's like an oxymoron or paradox where it's
yeah.
like, these don't exist together.
Yeah.
And by virtue of putting them together, it's radical.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least some like way better definitions than I could come up with. Holy cow. Wait, so it's almost, it's like radical sense of joy, this like subversive type of joy.
Yeah.
Have you, yeah, what were you gonna say?
Oh, no, I was just green, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I was like, you're dropping a lot of wisdom. I want to catch every droplet. Do you feel like you've experienced that?
Oh, for sure.
And can
yeah.
you think of a time when you have?
Yeah, I think So I have two really good friends. Mm-hmm. Both of them besties, love them.
Wait, what are the? Can I ask their names? Does that ruin the story? Don't tell me their names.
No, it's okay. Yeah, yeah. I think I'm gonna omit their names.
Nice. Okay.
But
we can give them generic names. It could be like Sandy and Paul.
Okay, but they're both gay. We'll go with Paul and Peter.
Okay. Oh, wait. Cool.
Those are apostles. Should I not do that? Should I?
Did you make that religious on purpose?
No.
They're common names too. Okay, we'll go yeah, Paul and we'll Peter.
Go Paul and Peter. It's my friends.
And just make sure people know we're not talking about, like, you know, yeah, disciples of the scriptures.
Yeah.
In the scriptures.
They were just like names that came up to my brain.
I hope someone joins in now and they're like, think we are talking about scriptures. But keep going.
Okay, so my two friends, Paul and Peter, they started dating and like became official during like a really difficult time in my life. And they were both like individually just there for me. Mm-hmm. But then because we were all three good friends, I see them so often, and just like their day-to-day mundane things are so beautiful to me.
Oh, like what?
Like when they hold hands at Smith's.
Oh.
Or like when we're driving up to the canyon and I get to take like cute candid photos of them being a couple. And like, I don't know, to me that is like, it's not my, I don't know, but like me personally, like I find joy in other people's joy for sure. So like just seeing them be in this place where they're not supposed to be together and they're not supposed to find love within each other, and then see them do it anyways, not because they like, it's a big like F you to the other side or like, you know, not for like any malice reason, but only because they just find it within each other. They find that love and that joy. And I'm just like,
I love this. So like almost like experiencing or witnessing some of these like displays of radical resilience. And it's not like it's like a radical action. It's not like you're like running around with
a
flag,
rainbow flag. Yeah.
Like a kilt and rainbows.
Exactly.
Painted, like, they're just like existing as humans. And by virtue of experiencing that, it's like this radical resilience.
Yeah.
Like you can't break their soul.
Exactly. Like there's something that is so beautiful to me about just the human experience. Mm. And then also for the history that like predates you to kind of work against you. So like, and then you still find that is very like...
Like your history being like your experiences or like American history or
just
something?
Just like history of the world in general. Mm. I guess also American history, because there's a lot of that like plays into homophobia.
Right.
But like just for that in general to like not... I mean, of course it affects them, but to not damper their joy is so beautiful to me, and that's like when I think of them, I think of queer joy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I am a big believer in the concept of, I forgot where I was going with that thought.
I love it. I saw
it
this.
It's not like it was going to be, you're like, this is going to be deep. And I was like, I got nothing. Oh, it was something along the lines. Oh, I'm a really big believer in like some of the biggest impact you can have doesn't come from reinventing the wheel, creating a new algorithm. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, you're doing some brain-busting thing that no one else has done. Yeah. I truly feel like some of the biggest impact you can have is by just authentically being yourself.
Yeah.
And like that will create ripples in a way that like, and that will empower you in a way that like other things just can't.
Yeah.
And so when I think of these examples of Peter and Paul, these beloved apostles of ours, no, but your friends Peter and Paul, like just being quietly and honestly themselves in Smith's or the canyon, it's like, what a beautiful effect that's come in. Like, it's not requiring crazy amounts of effort besides bravery or like you know this resilience.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that so much. I guess I'm trying to think of a moment when I experienced queer joy. I'm thinking of, along those lines, I think of a moment where I hate the concept that fear controls me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm ever like feeling nervous, I'm like, no, I will buck up. Like, I'm the guy that's like, if I feel like when I was younger and I'd be like, I'm scared of the dark, and I'd be like, and I will go sit in it. I didn't really want to get there, but I was like, I will conquer these fears. And I remember I was at an ice cream shop with this guy I was dating, and I could feel people like looking at us.
Ooh, yeah.
And it was like, you know what I mean? Those sometimes you like feel eyes and you're like, oh.
No, I know what you mean.
And I got really uncomfortable with him and I was like, no. And I turned around, I was like, give me your hand. And he was like, what? And it was just like the most subtle, tiniest move, but it felt so dramatic. And I remember feeling very, I just felt empowered in the sense of like I felt resilient. Like, I was like, no, I am capable.
Yeah.
I can handle what comes towards me, even if it's the tiniest action. I don't know.
And, like, that in itself, like, is a part of joy. Like, that, like, empowerment and, like, ability to be yourself boldly.
Yeah.
That inspires joy, for sure. Like, there's,
The ability to be yourself boldly.
When you're, I don't know, because I've been, like, ever since you were like, hey, do you want to do this? I've been thinking about more, like, queer joy and, like, those moments of joy. And I think what's important is to, like, allow yourself that. Like, it is, like, people are always going to be there. And the oppression that you face is always going to be there, regardless. And I'm not saying that, like, you have to create a moment of joy right now. But
I
like,
can, I'll be like,
yeah.
I'll do something different. That was a bad idea.
No, do that.
I tried it. Yeah. Didn't work. Felt really sad.
No, but like, I don't know. There's always, that sounds so silly, but like, you're always going to have haters.
Yeah, no, for real.
So like, it's like creating a space for yourself, creating time for yourself to take those moments of like peace and relaxation and just joy and goodness is so vital for your just survival as someone who is like marginalized, whatever, in whichever way that is. So like, I don't know, I want people to experience joy and give themselves space and time to do that. And I don't know, I think you could also benefit from it, because then you're like able to live longer, and I also want that.
What a like empowering way to look at our experiences, because I feel like what you're saying to me is not like necessarily like joy happens and you just got to grab it and hold on to it, and it's fleeting and you're just too bad if you don't feel it. It's like there are things we can do to put ourselves in positions to experience joy, and it's not to say that life isn't hard and that's gonna suck. And listen, we've both been through some stuff, right? And we don't even need to like, people go through stuff, right? But it's to say that there are things we can do to like hold that joy. It's like creating that space, creating that time, giving it that focus and that attention.
I
love that. I love like the empowering aspect of that. And I really believe it, you know? And I sometimes I wonder that, like, and maybe this is kind of weird, but I feel like fortunate being a queer person of color, because a lot of my life growing up, I had people say and do things and treat me a certain way. They didn't know I was queer. I mean, I think, but because of the color of my skin. And it was like this chance I had to like grow in this aspect where it's like, people are not gonna just, I like what I feel like I'm entitled to, like human rights and being treated a certain way, people are gonna give it to me.
Exactly.
So I have to like craft that for myself.
Yeah.
People are gonna doubt me for no reason. They're gonna feel a certain way about me for no reason. So I have to also develop this kind of like belief in myself, or like a thicker skin. And when I came out as gay, it like, I feel like those lessons transferred really well. I was like, oh, people were like, how dare you? And I was like, girl, I'm black. This ain't gonna work on me. Like, I've heard this before. And some of my like, some of my Caucasian counterparts, I just feel like some of my white friends, queer friends, have got hit really hard in a way that I was like, oh, I feel like I was like, this was me growing up.
And like, that is such like a positive outlook on being like a queer person of color. Because it's like, it's so easy again to like look at those boxes and just be like, damn, the world's against me.
Oh, it all sucks. Yeah.
But like, it's such, it is, I do consider being a person of color like a blessing. Like, I do love it.
Do you like resonate
it.
With that concept?
Yeah. No, heavily. Because like, I don't know. It's like, what you're saying to me is nothing new. Like, what, like, oh, cool. I've been told that, just like different words. Same malice, same viciousness, but different wording.
Different words.
And what are you going to do? Like, I can't be dragged down that easily, actually. Like, unfortunately for you, you're going to have to try harder and work harder.
I'm going to give you two more chances to really come for me. And then you better run. Because I'm going to come for you.
Yeah.
It's like the part of the movie where like the hero gets punched and he's like, he like smiles.
You should get into acting.
Like, huh?
I said, you should get into acting.
Was that good?
Yeah.
Watch out. I'm going to be the new Superman. He's got to be cool, the 5'6 Superman. We roll.
Yeah.
Short kings are in these days.
They really are.
I do love that concept. And I thank you for sharing that. I love that like empowering aspect of like, we hold our own joy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen to us. We like grab it. We bring it in. We hold it.
Like, I was telling a friend, like, I like the aspect of being human where it's like, you can be desperate for things.
Mm-hmm.
You can sweat and fight and bleed for things. And that's okay. Like, it's okay to be, like, have that desperate want for things because that's only human. And it's okay if that desperate want is for, like, a moment of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to fight for that. And, like, I don't know. I'm a big believer that being nonchalant is, like, stupid.
Ah, like, be passionate about it.
Exactly.
Because everyone's like, oh, I don't want to look like I'm too weird. It's like, no, be weird.
Yeah. No, it's like, one thing about me, I'm going to try hard. And it's going to look like it. And that's okay. Like, literally, if you see me, sometimes I do embarrass myself at work. Like, it is a moment of, like, that was embarrassing, but also, I did it, and I attempted, so.
And I put 150% into
exactly.
it,
Exactly. So. We were talking about this the other day, how we're just all in.
Yeah, we're all in, people. I'm like, I don't do anything 65%. I'm like, 150%.
Yeah.
Like, I do, like, I'll make sourdough bread and invite neighbors over, and I'm like, I'm not doing, like, one loaf. I'm doing, like, 7 loaves,
yeah.
rotating system.
Yeah.
We got 45 toppings. Like, welcome to me.
Yeah.
So this podcast has been, like, one of the themes I want to explore is the joy in being queer. From, like, your perspective of me living my life, do you feel like you've seen, like, a queer joy? And I don't even know what that term means. I'm just, like, throwing it out. Do you feel like...
Can you have queer joy and not be queer?
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think?
I think I like it.
Tell me more. What do you think it means to you? Like, or what does it mean to you?
To answer your first, so I have loved watching you just live life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're just out here living life.
You mean like dating and stuff or what? Just like that?
Well, yeah, like dating and like learning new things and exploring your sexuality. Like, it's really cool to watch because it's not ever something we talked about before.
Yeah.
So like, even when you had dated girls or tried to, like, it was very like a mute subject. You know what? Like, seriously, you weren't like, this girl's a good kisser or anything like that. Like, it was just so, like, now we have these really good conversations and stuff.
We need to be getting juicy.
And then I love, like, being part of the joy that you,
like,
experience. I almost said the queer joy community because I absolutely support that and other people.
You're in there with me. Like, you are like ride or die.
So, oh, you better believe.
She's like, this is the one
the
here.
To the tomb.
Like, if I would have been in high school and come out, you would have been the one that's like,
I would have transferred like, schools so that I could go to school with you just to make sure, like, everything was kosher.
I believe it.
Like, I would have not
let... You
would
have made me do cheerleading with you or something?
Oh, that would have been so fun. We would have been partners.
I would have gotten to do a fucking cheerleading.
I have a feeling you would have dropped me a couple times on purpose. I believe that.
I wanted to talk about the joys of being queer, right? Mm. And obviously, you're not queer.
No.
Right? But I want to know from you, have you experienced joy, any type of, like, would you say queer joy, or some byproduct of queer joy, almost like you experienced that pain, right? Where you're like, your kids hurt and you hurt. Were there moments that you were joyful about your kids or your family, your friends, their queerness? Is there moments that, like, is there, tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, one powerful one. So my daughter, Faye, who came out around 14, 15, a couple of years, well, gosh, it's just been a couple of years ago. It was probably shortly before COVID. We went to the court to get her name and gender changed on her birth certificate. And the way they do it in the 4th District down here in Provo, which we were a little nervous because it's Provo, but we'd heard that this judge was very supportive and friendly and helpful. And so we went through this process, and there was a whole room full of people with all these different issues. And they saved these gender name changes to the end of that session.
Okay.
And so we're sitting there till the very end, and they let everyone leave. And then the judge pulls us up, and it's my daughter and her girlfriend and a couple of my other kids and her dad, my child's dad. And this judge was so good. And he said, thank you. He said, I keep this to the end because I want to have a chance to meet you. And I want to tell my kids about you because you are so brave to stand up and be who you are in this world where it's really hard to be you. And I was teary because I thought, what a beautiful moment for this little Faye who'd gone to school down in this Walden, who has really struggled being public, walking out to the store in Heber, having a job, just living her life because people don't understand and have a hard time accepting a person who is 6'3" and has a deep voice and has long hair and is a girl and is a woman, beautiful woman.
And so she's struggled with that, you know, process, which everyone does, I think, in that community, where they learn how to embrace how they want to look and what parts of transitioning. And so we went to this court, and this wonderful judge said these wonderful, kind things and granted her that her desire to have a different name, mm-hmm. to let her decide what her gender is, what her name is, and just say, you get to choose because... And I honor you for it. It was a beautiful, joyful moment for all of us.
Oh, I love that. It's almost like this moment in which her gender is being like affirmed.
Yes.
Which like her identity is being recognized in a world in a time when it was constantly being pushed back to people were treating her poorly. Her mere existence was a cause of issue for people. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and it did feel like queer joy because it was like... Here's people in high places are recognizing this, and you're able to get this thing. Where in the past, people in positions in government were taking away rights mm-hmm. and were stopping people from choosing. That moment was really beautiful.
Wow. I do want to just, I think this is really interesting because, like, you've experienced a lot of pain in the way the community has, like, treated your children, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't just affecting, like, queer people, this is affecting mayors of cities,
families,
family members. But I love, too, that, like, you've also been able to experience the joy that comes from them being able to find joy. And I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, we're all connected. Our families are connected. Like, what parent doesn't want to celebrate what their kids celebrating,
exactly.
Right? Okay, queer joy. Let's talk about it. What does that mean? And I don't have a definition for the term queer joy. Mm-hmm. But, like, what does that mean to you? And do you feel like you've experienced that in your life?
I think queer joy is just... feeling like a connection to your identity of like who you are. And I don't know if I have a real definition of that either. That's kind of hard, but I can feel like looking back on, let's see, like when I was working with Color the Campus and like that first, I kind of mentioned this, that first like rainbow day and like people were all wearing rainbows and I was like going to class and I was like, someone else is like me or whatever, like someone that I didn't know, who I hadn't told about, had mm-hmm. somehow found out about this. And then that first rainbow day was kind of like rainy and there was a rainbow afterwards.
Like a legit rainbow.
Rainbow in the sky.
Not like a gay student on top of a building.
No. No, like there was a real rainbow in the sky. And just like, wow, this
is... That was
a
dadly joke, my bad. Oh my gosh.
This is like, I don't know, this is like real. This is meaningful. And then just conversations with people. There was someone who reached out to me a little while ago who told me that the day that we lit the Y the first time, so back in 2021... the night before Rainbow Day, he had come home from work, was having like a real hard time and came home and all of his roommates, it was like late and all of his roommates were around the kitchen table, whatever. And they're all making rainbow shirts and they're like, we're doing this for you. We want you to feel loved and included. And tomorrow's Rainbow Day. And it was like the first time that he felt, like support, like he hadn't even like fully come out to them, I don't think. And so that brought me a lot of queer joy to be like, no, like we love each other. We're there for each other. And it's hard, it sucks, but people are wanting to like show that more.
That's the beauty of bringing the conversation, like mm-hmm. bringing the conversation.
Just when giving you talk opportunity.
About it, yeah, it's like people might have moments where they avoid it and that can really be hurt. But then you find moments where like, your roommates are like rallying, making shirts for you. You see other people wearing rainbows mm-hmm. and you're like, you're just like so stoked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this idea of like the closet, when you come out, something that you don't realize is once you've come out of that first closet, you've come out of like a lot of closets. Oh. Because being queer, you're like questioning everything now.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna wear whatever you want. You're gonna say whatever you want. You're gonna mm-hmm. be a part of things that are breaking all these binaries. And
it's like you're coming out of the closet.
You're coming out. And I think that's something that I wish more straight people would.
I agree.
Straight cis people would be more comfortable with. Like
lose the pressure to conform and just to like self-discovery.
Yes, not even in the conversation of sexuality and gender, but mm-hmm. just like you can do more things and break out of, I don't know, like.
That's probably one of the elements of queer joy I love is like, it's self-discovery. Like,
you can
I would never have worn like.
a Victoria's Secret rainbow Ariana Grande sweater. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I like it. And maybe I won't wear it anymore, but I feel cool just being like, I'm gonna try it out, see what happens.
That love became really the catalyst for my advocacy for LGBTQ rights later down. Because when I fell in love with my first boyfriend, I realized how beautiful and profound this thing was. This thing that everyone hated around me, you know, and this is like two decades ago, right? So the social condition was, you know, it was, I mean, like, yeah, like
the pressures were so different.
Yeah, I mean, like, gay intimacy in Utah at that point was illegal.
Woo.
Okay, I mean, yeah, it wasn't until the Lawrence v. Texas, you know, that would come after that. Where, you know, that this anti-sodomy laws became, you know, illegal.
Gotcha.
Right, right. And so, everyone, you know, hated had this fear around queer intimacy. But when I felt it was so profound and so moving, I was like, this is worth fighting for. And my boyfriend at the time, he said to me something that I never heard before. So I'll back up a little bit and say that I had like this massive crush in college on this one boy. And it was like this huge, overwhelming, all-consuming kind of obsession.
I love crushes. Right? I was literally just talking to someone where it's like, they like overtake you know, in a way that you can't. And I just like love it.
Right. It was, you figure out what their path is in college and you find ways to sort of like intersect accidentally, you know? Like, but then I remember this guy... one time he said to me, he said, if I could take a pill to make me straight, I would.
Mm.
And that was like this, and that like just like jolted me out of my crush. It was like, the crush was like over at that instant moment.
That's not what I thought.
Right.
It was. Yeah.
But then very quickly, I met my boyfriend and then we started spending time together. And then what he said to me, he was like, and this was like sort of disconnected conversations, but he goes, if anyone could ever give me a pill to make me straight, I would never take it because I love being gay.
Oh, interesting.
And that was like this really powerful, profound moment for me. And I was like, it is great. Mm-hmm. It is cool.
Like, what's great about it? You know what I mean? Because like, I want to just like, I want anytime you're like, this was nice. I'm like, why? What's good about it? Tell me.
Well, you know, again, dropping into your body and really dropping into your soul and your heart and really just being present there and then just sort of authentically moving through the world in that space where you're not hiding from somebody, that where you're not afraid of people's judgments of you, where you're not afraid to say your opinion, to be able to say, I think that person is hot or cute or, you know, whatever. To be able to share your likes and your fears freely without fear of being shut down is joyful.
But I have one more maybe like branch that I want to hit with you. And I was telling you when we're starting, one of the focuses I want to do on this is we talk a lot about the sad and the hard things. Like we have a lot of the negative. And I think sometimes we can relate and see ourselves in that and have, you know, be inspired that other people are going through similar things. But I worry sometimes that we don't talk enough about the joys of embracing yourself or the joy of embracing who you are. Well, I use the term queer joy. I want to know from you and your experiences in your life, where have you found joy in embracing yourself? Have you found that?
People have famously told me to cheer down. So,
not here. We don't use that language here. I hate that term.
I think that self-discovery is the best game in town. Mm. You know, and I think that art is one of the ways that I've used to be able to help me understand myself in relationship to the world, and also the world in relationship to me. Mm. I think that helping other people, and not in a sort of, you know, holding a hand down, but like holding a hand across, is one of the clearest ways that I know and the fastest ways to get to joy, which is why I do it, is because it's the most joyful thing. And we know this from all the studies at Harvard that they did about happiness, that the only thing that actually makes a difference in your kind of standard level of happiness is sustained service to other people.
Oh, interesting.
And yet, we're so late to the party. But I do want to say this, which is we're making a podcast with a group of young people who also applied, opted in. And they said to us, our first episode is going to be Queer Joy.
Yes!
That they felt like there's so much being done about how hard it is for them that they don't hear even from themselves sometimes, why go to all the trouble?
Why is it worth it?
Yes.
That's my vibe. That's exactly how I feel about it. And I want to know, is there a specific moment in your life, and it doesn't have to be the biggest moment, it could just be a moment, it could be mundane, it could be grand, anything where you remember feeling something that was like, yeah, this is why I do it, this is why I love it. You felt that joy, that spark.
And when you say love it, you mean live my life this way?
I guess however you want to interpret it. Any moment that you felt directly tied to this queer joy.
I think that my whole life has been oriented towards that queer joy.
It sounds like it.
And I think what comes to mind are the moments that were actually more difficult, where I had to say, no, that's not who I am. No, I will not be having that. Thank you very much, but I am going to choose myself. Mm-hmm. And I think in order, going back to really the Trevor story, I think when I decided to survive and to live, I realized that I was going to have to do it with my whole self. And I made a commitment to myself that I would not lie. Mm. In other words, I would tell the truth about who I am, and to the best of my ability, and that I would always be myself to the best of my ability. And I knew something, and I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, I knew what it was like not to go the other route of living a half-life, right, at a very young age. And I thought, that's dangerous. That's dangerous for me. And so I think that has been my sort of North Star.
Right.
Is just saying, like, tell the truth about who you are. And so the moments that when I had to say no thank you to offers that were being made that might have been advantageous, but I had to only enter with part of myself.
Yes.
Those are the moments that come to mind. Mm-hmm. And they were hard. But what I got out of it was myself. And that's joyful.
Love that. And I don't think anyone's talked about that yet. The joy that comes from, like, standing up for yourself or honoring these boundaries that you feel strongly about, or even having those moments, those negative moments, be things that you like stand in your own. I love that.
More recently, I think the moment that I came out to my sort of family, you know, my chosen family that I live with and, you know, who have my back and who I've gone through life with for the past 30 years, when I came out and as Celeste, and said, I'm gonna use my middle name, which was hiding inside, mm-hmm. you know, my name. I'm gonna use that name, and I'm gonna take these pronouns, and I'm gonna go on this journey. And their joy, and their willingness to embrace that part of me, was just an indication that I had chosen the right people to be around.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we went through all this like struggle of like, like, you know, finding out who you are. We had lows, I'm assuming, I don't know, as we had some lows. Is it better now? Are you happier? Do you feel like you're experiencing a joy that you didn't earlier? And I'm not looking for a specific answer. I really want you, if you're like, actually no. Like, I would love to know that, you know what I mean? Like, what are your thoughts?
I would say 100% yes.
Yeah?
Like, it very cliche of the whole it gets better thing, but, like, it really did get better for me. And that's not to say there's not still struggles. Like, I still have this mentality, and I still have some internalized homophobia, even though I've been out for 4 years and, you know, been with a man for 4.5 years.
Internalized homophobia meaning, like, in what context? You're like...
Like, I shouldn't... Like, I'm a very straight-laced person. Wearing this Our Out Foundation little pin is, mm-hmm. like, the most rainbow I ever wear. Because I have it in my head that, like, no, Rainbow's too gay.
You're like, it's too much.
It's too much. And so like things like that of like, I put myself into a box all the time. And so that's where I think of the internalized homophobia of like, no, I need to stay in this box. And if there's anything that even drifts out the box, then it's like, eh. And so sure, my partner is in the box now, but like past that,
Yeah, so it's like still a journey in that sense.
Still a journey, but better. But better, 100% better, just because like, I don't feel like this weight on my shoulders all the time. And it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's so cliche, but you know, as a queer teenager and a queer young adult, like you carry this weight.
Yes.
And like leaving it and kind of accepting it and like, oh, I can breathe.
I didn't realize how heavy the weight was until I dropped it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I all the time, still to this day, I'll be like, is this what the straights experience? Like, oh, there's like seeing the world in color now. And I'm like, I can be happy? What? Wait, so what do you agree? Do you feel like that's been similar in your life? The idea of like, do you feel like you're in a better place?
Yeah. So throw something at me if I talk for too long about this. Because
girl, I got you.
Okay. Be ready. So I would say absolutely, I feel so much more joy in my life now, like being out and like accepting myself. And also with that, I feel like comes, like there was a certain like almost numbing I had to do of myself, like as a student or as like someone who didn't love themselves because I didn't like accept myself because I was trying to like make myself into something I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like put myself in this box like Andy was talking about. It's like
put your emotions on the back burner.
Exactly.
Lock them away.
And so like it was awful, but like ever since then, like I can experience like the full joys I never got to experience. Have I had lows? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There have like, been like hard things.
Being in this place, yeah.
Breakups and feelings and like life, everything. Mm-hmm. But I can experience all of it now. Mm. I can experience it fully. I can experience it as me. I have all of me with me to help me get through all of these things. And that makes all the difference.
I love it.
I would rather do this any day than go back and try to fit myself and make myself something I wasn't.
That is so beautiful because I think it's like, it does feel like sometimes it's like an extreme where it's like, don't come out. It's going to be hard and you're going to regret it. Or come out because everything you're doing is terrible and horrible and you're going to only be happy. And it's like, life isn't like that. You know what I mean? You have these like ups and downs. You have these joys and upsets. Question for you. When you hear the term queer joy, and I'm going to be honest, I don't have a definition for this. So I want to just know like a gut reaction. What do you think that means? What does that mean to you?
To me, it means I can feel joy in my fullness of experience. Mm. Like I can be happy holding my girlfriend's hand walking down the street. Oh. I can be happy like putting a rainbow sticker on my Facebook profile picture. Mm-hmm. Like I can be happy like in all of these things that used to terrify me. I can be happy like reaching the limits and finding out like all of these edges and corners and spaces of who I am.
I love this idea that you're like this complex, beautiful shape that you've yet to discover. Mm-hmm. And like part of experiencing, part of discovering that is learning like the joys and the upsets. But like you got to discover it. And I don't know about you, but I feel like the more I discover this shape of myself, the more I love it. You know, like allowing myself to do that. Oh, I like that. What about you? When you hear the term queer joy, or you think about your own life, what do you think? Are you like, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
You know, similar to Sabina of just a fullness of joy. Mm. And I think as well, like a fullness of whatever joy you want. Like one thing that's interesting to me is the term queer. Like, you know, it used to be such a derogatory term, and now we've kind of taken it back as a community and owned it. Like, no, this is us. And it's kind of, from what I understand, very all-inclusive. And I think that that's a great way of describing queer joy, is it's inclusive joy.
Oh. Give me... Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I like that.
You did that really well.
Oh, thank you.
That's beautiful. I wanted a specific example of a time where you feel like you've experienced queer joy. A moment where you can like pinpoint and say, I experienced a joy, and however you want to define it is okay. I don't even want to give you a definition because I want you to in that, in your own sense. I think about for me, I remember driving home after a second date with this guy I ended up dating. And this beautiful, like, this like Spring One came on. It's like Max Richter,
you know, it's Vivaldi Reimagined or something. It came on and it's just like this beautiful strings was playing. And I felt like my soul was like flying. Like I felt like I was on cloud nine. I felt so good. And I was experiencing a crush. Like a crush. And I was just like, I could have sang opera in the moment. I just like, I pulled over at a park and I just like felt the sweetest feels. And I was like, this is queer joy. Like this is something that I never, ever, ever experienced. And now it's coming so... so powerfully and so strong. And like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a moment for me where I remember I can pinpoint and be like, yes. What about y'all?
One of the first moments I can remember, one of my girlfriends in high school, it was like one of the first times I like, or it was the first time I was able to like hold hands with a girl and just walk down the hallways of my high school. And we just like walked down the hallway and like she ran into a friend that I hadn't met yet of hers. And she was just like, oh, hey, like, oh, this is my girlfriend, Sabina, and like, or whatever. And like her friend was like, oh, you're so cute. And it was just like a cute little like organic moment that felt so normal. Like it wasn't about like coming out. It wasn't about like weird traumatic, like, oh, and like, it's so hard to be gay. It was just like, I had a girlfriend and I was like meeting her friend and she said we were cute. And like, that was it. And it was just like while holding my girlfriend's hand just down the hallways of my high school. It was just like such a powerful moment for me where it's just like, I feel so normal in this moment.
Like that's beautiful where it's like the normalcy of it. Like none of the like the pressures and the fears. It's like you had a moment where you could just like be, exist.
Yeah.
I love. You got one for us, Andy?
I think so. And it's more recent, actually. And I was trying to think of like, oh, what would work for this? But, and it's not even really about me. It's about somebody else. But
this better be your experience. You can't be telling me
no. Well, it is. Okay, it is my experience, like, in a way. Had joy once. So, my grandparents, they're in their 90s. And when they served a couple mission back in the 90s, and they had a song composed by a member of their ward who composed songs, beautiful songwriter. They came out as transgender probably 15 years ago. The songwriter. And
not your grandparents.
No, not my grandparents.
I was like, what a plot twist.
The songwriter.
90s, huh? Together. I was like, wow.
That would have been something else. No, but she came out as transgender, and my grandparents had a framed piece of this composed music, and it had this woman's dead name on it for the longest time because it was, you know, before she had come out as transgender. And I never really thought anything about it. It just was framed up on their piano. And then my partner and I were at their house just last month. And I was looking at all the little trinkets and whatever. And I noticed that they had an updated copy that had the composer's transgender name, like her name, yeah, instead of her dead name. And my 90-year-old, you know, quite conservative grandparents, it was something that just caught me by complete surprise and brought tears to my eyes because I, like,
yeah,
you know, they knew this person as their dead name for years and years and years, but they came out and I don't know when it was changed on the picture. It wasn't ever a big deal or anything, but there is now a composed sheet of music there that's framed with this woman's actual name
on
there.
And they never talked about it. They just did it quietly.
Never mentioned anything. Never. I swear I've looked at that several times before and never expected to see that. And so when I did, and I was like, and I had to point it out to my partner because I was like, this is so sweet. I never, wow. So I would say that for me, if I'm going for that inclusive joy, that would be my inclusive queer joy.
Some grandparents get you. I love that. And it's kind of like, almost like this joy. Is it the joy of like seeing your family do something? Like, why do you think that felt so good?
Oh, maybe
I get this idea of like the normalcy in space, but like, why did that feel
maybe
so
because
good?
It is my grandparents, but also maybe because it was kind of normal. Like, there wasn't a big deal about it. Yeah. There wasn't like a mass email to the family or a Facebook post of like, oh, we're doing this because, you know, we want to be good. It was just a normal thing. And just the fact that they would actually take the time and make the effort to actually replace that sheet of music with the correct name on there just took me by surprise. And yeah, I think just...
Isn't it funny how... like these experiences, we're not talking about our first time riding, you know, a spaceship or like how someone reinvented the wheel for us. It's like these like small moments that are like so impactful. It's like a little goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
I don't know how to end this thing.